Okay, stop exactly what you are doing. Seriously, if you are a gamer, or honestly, even if you just track how big tech companies spend billions of dollars trying to defy the laws of physics, we really need to talk about last night.
Right, because it is February 23rd, 2026, and I think we are going to look back on this exact date as a genuine demarcation line in the mobile industry.
That sounds a bit dramatic right out of the gate, but looking at the news wires this morning, you might actually be right. Ubisoft finally pulled the trigger.
It did.
Rainbow Six Mobile, or R6M, as the subreddit is already calling it, has officially launched on iOS and Android.
And it is huge.
It is. Now, I can totally hear you, the listener, rolling your eyes right now, thinking, great, another mobile shooter, just what the world needs. But today's mission for this deep dive is to figure out exactly how they took a notoriously brutal, highly complex console game and squeezed it onto your phone without, melting it.
Exactly. And honestly, if this were just another lazy tort, I would be rolling my eyes right along with you. We have seen a dozen of those in the last decade. But looking at our sources today, which include developer diaries, technical white papers from Ubisoft, and the raw launch data from this morning, this isn't a port. This is a burn the boats moment.
Yeah, burn the boats is the exact phrase that jumped out at me from their investor reports. We aren't just talking about a game release here. We are talking about a massive strategic pivot for the entire company.
A huge pivot.
Right.
They canceled four, literally count them, four live service projects on home consoles just to clear the runway for this one mobile title.
This is insane when you think about it.
It is.
Yep.
They looked at the market and realized they couldn't just dip a toe in. They had to pivot everything toward what they are calling a tactical maneuver. They are betting the farm that they can take a game that requires really distinct mathematical thinking and shove it into a pocket device.
Without dumbing it down, that has to be the hardest part.
Without dumbing it down, think about the last 5 years of mobile gaming. What has the market actually been?
Battle royales, mostly. PUBG Mobile, Call of Duty Mobile, Fortnite.
Right. The absolute run-and-gun status quo. You drop down to a massive island with 100 people. You loot, you shoot, you run in a straight line toward a shrinking circle. It is chaotic, it is fast, and it relies heavily on luck.
And R6M is the complete antithesis of that.
Completely. It is strictly five versus five. It is close quarters battle or CQB.
Yep.
It's intimate, claustrophobic, and entirely strategic.
So they are trying to inject this, thinking man's shooter into a market that is fundamentally designed for casual play while you're waiting for the bus. That seems incredibly risky.
Oh, it is. But looking at the launch data from segment one of our notes today, the infrastructure data, the gamble might already be paying off.
Yeah, paying off is putting it mildly. The reports from Taken Mornings showed that the traffic was seismic.
Seismic is a good word for it. When the servers went live in the early hours, the download requests on the App Store and Google Play actually triggered infrastructure alarms.
Wait, alarms? Like we're under cyber attack alarm.
Literally, capacity critical alarms on both Amazon AWS and Microsoft Azure. These massive server farms lit up like Christmas trees. The initial influx of data requests was functionally indistinguishable from a DDoS attack for the first 3 minutes.
Okay, usually when I hear server alarms on launch day, the next sentence is, and nobody could play the game for 3 days. Did it crash? Because I was fully expecting the standard error 77 screen.
That is the fascinating part. It didn't crash. And this brings us to the first major technical takeaway of this deep dive, their network load balancing system.
Right, because they must have learned from the disasters of the past 10 years.
Exactly. Instead of letting the dam just break under the pressure, Ubisoft implemented a system that placed millions of players into virtual queues with millisecond precision timing.
Okay, explain that a bit. How does millisecond precision actually help a queue? To me, a queue just means I am staring at a spinning circle on my screen for an hour.
Think of it like a smart turnstile at a football stadium. In the old days, everyone rushed the gate at once and the system jammed. Nobody gets in.
Right.
Here, the system micromanages the flow based on server tick rates. It smoothed out the transition into the main menu by letting micro batches of players in every few milliseconds. It wasn't a crash at all. It was a perfectly controlled flood.
And once people actually got in, that smart download system kicked in.
Yes, which is brilliant.
I noticed this in the technical notes and it kind of blew my mind. The initial file size on the App Store is only about 3.5 gigabytes.
Which is tiny.
It's suspiciously tiny. For a AAA game in 2026, I have basic indie games on my phone bigger than 3.5 gigs.
It definitely looks suspicious until you understand the architecture behind it. That 3.5 gigs is just the skeleton of the game.
Just enough to get you through the door.
Exactly. It gets you through the door, lets you play the basic tutorial, and sets up your profile. But once you finish that tutorial, the game selectively starts pulling down all the heavy assets in the background.
Like the high-res textures and stuff.
High-res textures, the complex 3D audio files, the detailed operator animations, all of it downloads quietly while you are just navigating the menus.
So it's completely modular. It's basically building the rest of the airplane while you are already taxiing on the runway.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And this serves two massive purposes for them. First, it gets you playing instantly, which is crucial for mobile retention.
Nobody wants to wait 40 minutes for a download.
Right. And second, it scales perfectly to your specific hardware.
Yeah.
If you are playing on a mid-range phone from 3 years ago, you only download the mid-range assets. You don't waste your limited storage on 4K textures your screen physically cannot display.
But if you have the good stuff.
If you are rocking one of the new 2026 flagships, like the iPhone 17 Pro Max or an Android with the Snapdragon 8 Gen 4 chip, the game essentially unlocks the vault. It scales all the way up to 120 frames per second with console-level graphical fidelity.
120 frames on a phone is still wild to me. I remember when getting a stable 30 was a total miracle.
It's a different world now.
It is, but visuals are just gloss, right? Pretty textures are nice, but the thing that makes Rainbow Six Siege actually unique on console is the destruction.
The real-time destruction physics.
Yeah, if I play on PC, I can take a sledgehammer to a drywall or blow up a floor to shoot someone from the room above them.
Verticality and destruction are the entire core loop. The map is not just a static arena you run through, it is a fully destructible sandbox.
But calculating that requires a ton of raw processing power. Figuring out how wood splinters, how drywall crumbles, the physics of all that debris falling. If you try to force a mobile processor to do that math, you get thermal throttling.
Instant.
Your phone gets incredibly hot, the safety protocols kick in to literally save your battery from catching fire, and your game turns into a PowerPoint presentation.
It is hardware suicide, or at least it was. And this is where we get into the real engineering miracle of this deep dive.
Hybrid destruction system.
Yes, an autopsy of the R6M source code reveals this massive partnership between Ubisoft Montreal and Tencent to build this hybrid system.
Now, hybrid usually means splitting the workload. Who is doing the heavy lifting here if it isn't the phone in your hands?
The cloud.
Wait, seriously, so my phone isn't actually doing the math when a wall explodes?
Not at all. Here is the massive breakthrough they achieved. The heavy mathematical calculations determining exactly which polygon of the wall breaks, the exact physics vectors of the debris tumbling down to the floor, none of that is processed on your local silicon.
It's happening on their end.
All of it is calculated on the server.
Okay, I have to play devil's advocate here. Cloud computing traditionally introduces latency. If I hit a wall with a hammer, and the server somewhere in Ohio has to do the math and send it back to my phone, won't there be a noticeable delay?
That was the industry's biggest fear. They called it rubber banding destruction. But they have managed to completely decouple the physics calculations from the visual rendering.
How does that actually look to the player?
Your phone just receives a tiny data packet saying the wall broke exactly like this, and your phone's only job is to draw the picture on the screen. It happens so fast with such optimized net code that it feels entirely instant.
So they have basically offloaded all the heat generation to a server farm.
Exactly. This allows you to use Sledge's hammer to reduce a room to absolute splinters, or use Thermot's breaching charges to melt reinforced metal, exactly like you would on a high-end PC.
But with zero frame drops on a smartphone.
Zero frame drops. They are essentially streaming the physics engine in real time while you play the game locally.
That is actually incredible. It bridges the gap between mobile and console to almost zero. But that leads me to my next bit of skepticism.
Let's hear it.
You can have the best cloud physics in the world, but if I am playing this highly tactical shooter on a completely flat piece of glass, how am I supposed to actually control this thing?
The eternal struggle of mobile gaming. Touchscreens are fundamentally terrible controllers.
They really are. And Siege is complex. You have to lean around corners, aim down sights, shoot, crouch, check your security cameras, reinforce walls. Doing all of that with virtual buttons usually feels like trying to play a piano while wearing thick winter mittens.
It's usually a complete nightmare. Historically, mobile pros use what is called the claw grip.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, you arch four fingers over the screen like a crab just so you can hit all the virtual buttons at once. It is incredibly uncomfortable. It leads to awful hand cramping. And honestly, your fingers block half your view of the game anyway.
Right. So how did Ubisoft solve the claw problem? Or are they just expecting all of us to get arthritis by next year?
They completely reinvented the heads-up display. First off, it's fully customizable. You can move every single button, change the size, adjust the opacity.
So if I have massive thumbs, I can make the fire button huge.
You can make the shoot button the size of a dinner plate if you want. But the real game-changing innovation here is what they call Smart Assist.
Now, Smart Assist sounds a whole lot like the game plays itself. Is this just some kind of aim assist on steroids?
No, it is not an aimbot. It is all about context. It removes the mechanical friction of the touchscreen without removing the player's skill.
Give me an example of that.
Take the auto lean feature. In the console version, you have to manually click a thumbstick to lean your character's body around a corner. In R6M, if you approach the edge of a door frame while aiming down your sights, the game's engine detects the context.
It knows you're at a corner.
Right. It says player is at a corner,
Yeah.
and it automatically tilts your camera to peek around it for you.
Oh, that is slick. So I don't have to desperately fumble for a tiny lean button while I'm also trying to track an enemy and fire my weapon.
Exactly. It lets you focus purely on the strategy of the gunfight, not the finger gymnastics. There is also a smart semi-auto firing assist to help newcomers manage the recoil on single-fire weapons.
But what about the hardcore players? The ones who think any kind of assist is just for casuals?
For them, Ubisoft included native, highly tuned support for the gyroscope.
Meaning I can physically tilt my actual phone to aim.
Yes, and it is high sensitivity. Hardcore players can physically tilt their device in real time to manage recoil control.
So if I'm firing a heavy machine gun and the recoil kicks the barrel up, I literally just tilt my phone downward.
You physically tilt the phone down to compensate. It perfectly mimics the precision of dragging a physical mouse down on a mouse pad.
It literally turns the phone itself into the controller. That sounds intense.
It completely changes the skill ceiling. If you master the gyro controls, you are playing a fundamentally different game than someone who's just swiping with their thumbs.
Okay, so the controls are sorted, but there is one very specific warning I saw in our source material. They called it the inspector's warning. That really stood out to me. It was about the audio, and it seemed pretty dire.
Yes, and this is completely non-negotiable. If you try to play this game using your built-in phone speakers, or even just with one cheap earbud in, you are going to lose, period.
Why so strict? Phone speakers have actually gotten pretty amazing recently. My new phone has dedicated stereo sound.
They are loud, sure, but they are not spatial. Rainbow Six Mobile utilizes an incredibly complex spatial audio engine.
And sound is that important.
In Siege, your eyes are secondary to your ears. Sound is your primary source of intel. You need to be able to hear footsteps on the floor directly above you, or the sound of glass breaking three rooms over to your right.
And standard stereo speakers on a phone just cannot project that 3D space effectively.
It is impossible. The warning makes it clear. You need a zero latency wireless gaming headset.
Zero latency being the key there.
Crucial. If there is lag in your audio, like you get with standard cheap Bluetooth earbuds, where the sound is even half a second behind the video, you are dead before you even hear the gunshot.
Wow.
The game is truly that precise. You are actively hunting people through destructible walls. If you cannot hear them breathing or pulling the pin on a grenade, you are the prey.
So we have the cloud physics, we have the gyro controls, we have the strict headset requirement. Let's shift gears and talk about the game content itself, the meta.
The roster.
Yeah. On the PC version, there are something like 70 operators available now. Did they actually try to cram all 70 of them into this mobile launch?
No. And honestly, that was a very smart move on their part.
Yeah.
Dumping 70 complex characters on day one would have been completely overwhelming for new mobile players and an absolute balancing nightmare for the developers.
So what did they do instead?
They went with a heavily curated greatest hits style roster.
Who made the cut? Are we missing any of the big iconic names?
Not at all. It's mostly the icons. For the attackers, you have Ashe for rapid breaching, basically running in fast and blowing doors up. You have Thermite for hard breaching reinforced walls, and Sledge for that vertical destruction we talked about.
Then on the defense side.
You have Kavera, the silent interrogator who sneaks around.
Yeah.
You have Valkyrie for throwing security cameras and gathering intel, and Rook for dropping armor plates for the team.
It is a very meat and potatoes kind of list, very balanced.
It perfectly teaches the fundamentals of the game. But they did have to tweak how some of these gadgets actually work for touchscreens.
Like what?
Take Valkyrie, for instance. Her whole thing is throwing these sticky cameras onto walls and ceilings. On PC, flicking your mouse to throw her camera into the perfect hidden top corner of a room requires serious muzzle memory and an understanding of the physics of the toss.
I will admit, I have missed plenty of those throws myself on PC. Just bouncing a camera off a doorframe directly onto the floor and feeling like a total idiot.
Exactly. We all have. But in R6M, when you prep the camera to throw it, the game superimposes a precise 3D arc trajectory right there on the screen.
Oh, so you see the exact path it will take.
You see exactly where it is going to land before your finger even leaves the screen.
That completely eliminates the input error.
Right. It allows you to be highly tactical in your placement without demanding that you be mechanically perfect on a touchscreen. It is respecting the physical limitations of the platform while keeping the strategic intent entirely intact.
That's incredibly smart design.
They also adjusted the overall pacing. The rounds are noticeably shorter, down to about 2 to 3 minutes, and the preparation phase at the start of the round is much faster.
Which makes total sense. If I am sitting on a lunch break or riding the subway, I simply cannot commit to a sweaty 45-minute rank match like I can on a Saturday night at my desk.
Exactly. It fits the mobile habit loop without sacrificing any of the strategic depth. It is condensed, but it is not diluted.
Now, we absolutely have to address the elephant in the room.
The monetization.
The thing that ruins so many promising mobile games. The cybernetic economy, as the white papers call it. Is this game pay to win? Are we going to see people buying golden bullets that do 20% extra damage? Because we have all seen that exact movie play out before.
This is where Ubisoft drew a very hard, very public red line. They absolutely know the toxic reputation of mobile shooters. But they have guarantee, and the day one server autopsy entirely confirms this, that R6M is 100% competitive.
So what are they actually selling then? They have to make their development money back somehow.
Vanity. Strictly cosmetics. You can buy fancy weapon skins. You can buy those really flashy end-of-round MVP animations or special elite skins for your favorite operators. But none of that changes your damage output, your health pool, or your movement speed.
And what about the operators themselves? Can I just drop $50 to buy the best character and dominate the lobby?
No. You can unlock new operators simply by grinding. You earn free in-game currency just by playing matches. There is a battle pass, of course, with both free and premium tiers. But again, the premium rewards are just visual items, never gameplay advantages.
So if a team drops 1,000 real-world dollars on glowing skins and outfits,
they will still get absolutely annihilated by a completely free-to-play squad that actually uses voice chat and knows the map layouts. Money simply cannot buy map knowledge.
That is incredibly refreshing to hear. It sounds like they're genuinely trying to build a real, respected, competitive scene here, not just a quick cash grab.
They aren't just building a scene. The source material we have actually refers to this launch as a bloody declaration of war against Activision and PUBG.
Those are massive giants to pick a fight with. Call of Duty Mobile is a total juggernaut. It has millions of daily active users.
It is massive. But the mobile esports market is currently entirely dominated by battle royales. And R6M brings a devastating logical argument against them to the table.
Which is?
The RNG factor.
Random number generation. Basically luck.
Exactly. In any battle royale, no matter how skilled you are, there is always a massive element of luck involved. Did you happen to find level 3 armor in your first building? Did you land on a good gun or just a pistol? Did the safe zone circle happen to close right on top of your position?
And that inherently lowers the competitive integrity of the tournament.
Yes. But R6M is a completely closed, controlled 5-versus-5 environment. There was no luck. There was no random loot scattered on the floor. It relies purely on skill, strategy, and time management.
It really is like chess with guns.
And that appeals directly to the hardcore esports crowd. Ubisoft is aggressively targeting the players who are sick and tired of losing matches just because of bad RNG. They've already activated their ranked mode with a highly intrusive anti-cheat system, and they just announced the 6 Invitational Mobile.
That is going to be their big flagship tournament.
Set for the end of 2026. And it boasts a $1 million prize pool. They are dead serious about turning casual mobile gamers into actual tactical commanders. They're creating a direct, viable pipeline from playing on your phone to becoming a paid pro.
So pulling back and looking at all of this together, the cloud physics, the load balancing queues, the massive esports push, what is the final takeaway here? Is this the future of mobile?
The tactical verdict from all our sources is pretty clear. The era of the brainless mobile shooter is officially over. Just running across a massive map and shooting at anything that moves simply isn't enough anymore. Rainbow Six Mobile has successfully injected entirely new codes into the mobile ecosystem. Extreme patience, holding tight angles, and mathematical environmental destruction.
But it also sounds like the barrier to entry is significantly higher now, not just in terms of player skill, but the actual equipment required.
For sure. You need a highly stable device. You absolutely need a zero latency headset. And most importantly, you need a dedicated squad. You need real-time intel sharing to win. This engineering marvel proves that you can put a true AAA console experience in a pocket, but you cannot automate the human teamwork required to play it.
Walls were never built to protect you. That is the classic tagline for the franchise.
And it has never been truer than it is today.
You know, what strikes me the most about this entire deep dive isn't even just the game itself. It is the underlying technology behind that hybrid destruction. We are literally seeing remote cloud computing handle complex, real-time physics calculations that our local hardware cannot even touch.
It creates a truly fascinating precedent for the tech industry.
It really does. It leaves you with this provocative thought to chew on. If cloud computing can handle complex structural physics for a fast-paced mobile game, essentially removing the hardware barrier for real-time destruction, what other impossible software barriers are about to fall next? What else are we currently unable to do on our mobile devices that suddenly becomes effortlessly possible once we stop relying on the physical silicon in our pockets and start trusting the cloud to do the heavy lifting?
That is going to be the defining question of the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
We might genuinely be moving toward a world where your phone is just a dumb glass screen and the actual computer is everywhere else.
Definitely something for you to think about while you're busy reinforcing those walls tonight. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the tactical revolution. We will see you in the queue.
Stay tactical out there.